This Week in Pro Football is brought to you by Haager Slacks. They just fit better naturally.
Draw to Biner. Ernest Biner.
Fumble.
Fumble the ball, and Denver has recovered. Oh, my.
Chuck in for Tim Tebow. Sets, throws, pass, caught.
Demaryius Thomas out over the 45, midfield. Here we go. 40, 35, 20, 15, 10. Touchdown, Denver is over.
Christie kicks it high and short. Going to be fielded by Lorenzo Neal at the 25.
Yeah,
pitches it back to Wycheck. He throws it across the field to Dyson.
He's got something.
30,
he's
40,
got something.
50,
he's got it.
40,
he's got
40,
it.
20, 10.
He's got
5,
it.
End zone. Touchdown, Tyson. There are no flags on the field. It's a miracle. Tennessee has pulled a miracle.
You're listening to Basically a Sports Show.
Follow us on Twitter at Basically Sports.
Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes.
And check out every episode of the show at basicallysports.tumblr.com.
Now here's your hosts, Zach,
Greg,
Mike.
And you're listening to Basically a Sports Show.
Take it away, Zach.
All right.
We're doing
Basically a football show.
Right, another Basically a Football Show on Basically a Sports Show.
A Basically Football Show production on ESPN. On Basically Sports on ABC.
There you go.
The Ocho.
This is year six, right, of NFL football?
Yes, for us.
For the football show set. So this will be fun. We're just going to go like we did with the colleges. We're going to go, you know, team by team, and we'll just have a question or two about everybody, and we'll try to get through this as quickly and as efficiently as possible. So we're going to start in the AFC. We're going to go division by division, and I'm just going to go based on the preseason standings, because that's how they're listed here. So we'll start in the AFC East. So that means first place in the AFC East at the preseason, the highest that they will get all season long, the New York Football Jets. I guess really the only question is, how friggin' bad is this team going to be?
Is McCown still the starter?
Yeah.
Okay.
As far as I know.
I think they've got a very good shot at going winless this year. Because I look at that team, I just don't see any talent anywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we talked about it on the show a few weeks ago, where I said the Cleveland Browns are no longer the biggest joke in the National Football League. They're like the number two joke, but the Jets, I think, have achieved Cleveland Browns status as far as ineptitude goes. I mean, I don't know what this – I don't even know what this team has, what they're good at. I don't think anything, really, and they're going to be awful.
Yeah,
well, you say that because I open up the Jets team page on ESPN. Scroll down. It says their 2017 NFL projections. To put it bluntly, the Jets will be bad on both sides of the ball this season.
Yeah.
That's all it says.
The Jets – okay, I don't like making this argument just because I think that there is a problem in football analysis in that a lot of – I think it tends to be oversimplified down to just the quarterback, and obviously a team is more than the quarterback. People say Tom Brady won 5 Super Bowls, and he did, but he also was part of a New England Patriots team that won 5 Super Bowls. And I think that that's the sort of thing. You can't all be about the quarterback, but at the same time, at least in the modern NFL, you do need someone who is at least not going to lose you a game under center. And you look at the Jets quarterback situation, and – I'm not going to say it's been the most dire QB situation I've ever seen to start the season for a team, because some of those Cleveland Browns teams got pretty dire, like in the mid 2000s specifically, just some really bad years there. But this ranks right up there. This has got to be one of the worst starting quarterback situations I've ever seen. And maybe that wouldn't have been so bad 10 years ago or 12 years ago, where you could still win with kind of an anemic offense if you had a great defense. But now,
kind of like the Jets did under Bill Parcells.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, yeah, exactly. And now it's just, but now the current NFL, no, you got, you know, Zeppo McCown under center at the start. You know, the big rookie sensation who's supposed to be the future of the franchise at quarterback. You can't even break a freaking huddle. And no. Not saying Hackenberg can't be good once he gets his head on straight in a few years, but that's not going to be this year. So,
well, who's to say that he's even the quarterback? I think if the Jets have a shot, they'll take Josh Rosen of UCLA comeback fame.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, that's
as it cooled out a little bit. One of the first stories today on the Jets page here is Jets QB search. UCLA's Josh Rosen creates buzz.
So they're already aiming for that number one.
When
draft
did they? When was Hackenberg drafted? Was that last year or the year before?
Last year.
No, he wasn't first round though, right?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, good. Because I think that, you know, to give you a comparison, there were some quarterbacks to be had in this draft. You had Trubisky and Watson. Mahomes was halfway decent. You know, those guys. But the Cleveland Browns looked at that and said, okay, these guys could be good, but we're not. They're still a little bit iffy. So we're just going to say, wait around, maybe go with the second round guy like DeShone Kizer and still have the pick next year for when the big names really come out. And I think the Jets, probably smart in following that path too. You take a guy like Hackenberg, you never know what you might get.
Well, he wasn't drafted this draft. He was drafted before last season.
Okay, but you know, you get what I'm saying though. But like,
yeah, I got you. So I'm looking at their schedule right now, and I see only two options maybe for them to win, unless something crazy happens. They're at the Browns on October 8th.
Oh, I'm gonna be come hell or high water, I will see that game.
And then December 10th, they're at the Broncos, who have a lot of quarterback issues themselves.
Yeah, the Broncos have fallen a long way from that Super Bowl title a couple of years ago.
Yeah, you know what? The defense carried Peyton Manning. He got his ring. Elway got his ring as a executive, and now it's all just sort of fallen apart.
Yeah.
But, man, this is going to be one of the worst teams in our memory. They could be a team that could equal those 08 Lions and be 0-16.
I mean, I think that the best case scenario for the Jets is 5 wins. That I would consider that a really good season for them.
Well, that's what they had last season. They were 5-11 last year.
They're not hitting. I'm gonna go out on a limb and say if they get 3 wins, that's a good season. That's exceeding expectations. This team is so bad. I joked about seeing that Browns game, but the only game I might considerably go out of my way to see for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in Tampa would be that game against the Jets because...
Well, remember, we've got a pact because the Jets are coming to all three of our towns, so we've decided...
Oh, yeah. Jets Watch 2017.
Yes, Jets Watch 2017. I've got them in October here in Cleveland. You'll have them in Tampa, and Zach's got them sometime down the road in L.A.
Yeah. It's pretty bad. I don't know how much long... There's not much else to say about this team because I don't think I could name...
No.
I don't think I can name like 3 New York Jets.
Brandon Marshall, is he still there?
No.
Okay, then I'm lost.
I don't believe so.
What about the West Virginia kid at quarterback? What was his name?
Geno Smith. He's not there anymore. I can name the 3 quarterbacks because it's hilarious: Josh McCown, Christian Hackenberg, and Bryce Petty.
Oh boy. When you're looking at that, I'm going, hey, maybe Petty might be something. That's bad. That's bad.
There's nobody at receiver.
Curtis Martin.
There's nobody at receiver we would know. Their top running back is Matt Forte,
who has played longer in the NFL, I think, than JT Barrett's been at Ohio State, which is to say a long time. They're going to be very bad. I think Mike's right. I mean, like I said, a 5-win season would be just above the moon for them. That would be a really great year for them. I could see them. I think most people are predicting them between 2 and 3 wins, and you know, depends.
Right. Zach's right. They only have 2 wins, like 2 conceivable wins on their schedule. And so I think that once they hit 2 wins, like if they manage to get 2 wins, I think everyone will be, oh, well, you know, this isn't as dire as we thought it would be. It's still bad, but it's not.
The only thing I can say about the Jets is that they'll still look pretty good. The uniforms aren't bad. They need to go back to the old Kelly green, but other than that, yeah.
I like the Jets uniforms in practice. Like, I like the concept of the Jets uniforms, but then you have Nike who can't do, like, green.
If they were done properly, like the Joe Namath era Jets colors, they would be fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but anyway, all right, so let's move on. Are we going up to the Dolphins here next?
Next would be your Miami Fighting Dolphins. I guess the real question is, how long until Jay Cutler gets himself fired?
I'm going to go back to what I said when this first took place. I really like this move for the Dolphins.
Yeah, I guess it's either does Jay Cutler bust or are they a playoff team? Because that's really like they bring in Jay Cutler because they think that they're a playoff team and they think that he has enough talent to bring them there in you know relief of Ryan Tannehill.
If Jay
isn't in one piece ever.
I think if you had to pick today and your choices are Ryan Tannehill or Jay Cutler, who are you picking? I'm going with Cutler. And I think the Dolphins felt the same way. Go ahead, Mike.
I'm just going to say I agree with you, Greg, in that I like the move. And to reiterate what I said when we talked about this the first time, I think it's actually a better fit than Chicago.
Absolutely.
Because it's Miami. It's kind of a more laid-back relationship between the fans and teams.
No like, pressure.
Yeah, I mean, sure, you got your Dolphins fans, but you know, you're not going to be like, oh, he's not like the blue-collar quarterback that the city and the team need and the Bears. Like, you're not going to have that in
Nope.
Miami.
No, the Dolphins fans do not have the relationship with that team that Bears fans have with the Bears, and that's going to be a big help for Cutler. And I really believe that if he keeps his act straight and plays up to what he's capable of, he's going to be a very good fit for them, and they beat the Patriots out for that division, not in a million years, but I could see them having a 9, maybe 10-win season with Jay Cutler, a quarterback. I think that they're not losing Tannehill. Your first thought is you go, oh my God, we're doomed. But when they got Cutler, I thought, yeah, they're going to be okay. I mean, they might be able to pull off what they did last year again, but I don't see them as being like a, you know, 4 or 5 win team. I think they're going to be at least a 500 club, if not better.
Yeah. It's, the Dolphins are just a hard read for me. Still,
as usual. Because,
right. As we will go through the rest of this conference, most of it is, you know, outside of one, maybe two teams, the rest of this conference is kind of middling or bad. And the Dolphins just have to get on the right side of games. They can't lose the dumb games that they've lost in the past. You know, if they get out to another 4-1 start, they got to keep a hold of that. Like, the Dolphins are a team where they've had their opportunities and lost them. And maybe Jay Cutler is the one that can keep them there if he's focused and motivated and can use the talent that we've seen him use in seasons past. If Adam Gase can get him on the same page like he did in Chicago for a couple seasons there. But I don't know. I don't know what to do with the Dolphins.
I think that's
it doesn't matter. They're not good enough to win this division.
No,
they're not good enough to. Maybe they can win a playoff game should they get there, but they're not going to get to any. If they make it to an AFC title game, that would be the absolute ceiling because they're not going to beat the Patriots in that AFC title game.
I think if the Miami Dolphins walked away as losers of the AFC title game this year, that would be a dream season for them. But the thing that's interesting to me, adding what Mike said about Cutler being out of Chicago. Cutler's best season in the last 10 years or whatever was in 2015 with Adam Gase as his offensive coordinator. You take the Chicago pressure out of it, reunite him with Gase, put him in a situation where it really he's a stopgap measure at best. So there are no franchise expectations of him or anything else. I think it's got the potential to really work out well if everything goes right. Now, if a few things go wrong, well, then maybe they are a 5 or 6 win team. But I just think they're going to be in good shape with Jay Cutler at quarterback.
Yeah. You know, maybe I'm wrong, and maybe it does work out. And if the stories I was reading this last week were any indication, you know, I put a lot of stock into it. Well, he was preparing to be a broadcaster. From what I understand, I guess he really wasn't preparing all that hard to be a broadcaster with Fox.
Jay Cutler does not prepare hard for any one thing, sir.
It could very well be that he was hoping someone would call to give him another shot in the NFL.
No, true. And I think that's what the case was. So again, like we'll see with many of these teams. The Dolphins have to show it. We can't really talk about them until they show us something on the field. And until that point, you just kind of have to ride with your gut feeling on them. Next team on the list is the Buffalo Bills. Jeez. They're a team that's just like the Dolphins, where I think the Bills are on the bottom end of that mediocrity.
Yes.
Like, they could, if things all broke for them, they could be in playoff contention.
I don't think so. I don't think so. Not this year.
If things broke for them, but I don't, you know, on a middling level, if they just play to their absolute capabilities, then they're a middle of the road team. You know, they'll be two games out of a playoff spot for most of the season, and then they'll fade down the stretch like they tend to do. Tyrod Taylor is the guy they've hitched their wagon to still.
Right.
I don't know so much about that. They had a lot of dysfunction in the front office over the last offseason, and I couldn't even think of anything interesting to ask for the Bills. Like, I guess how long until somebody gets fired again, until Terry Pegula, you know, tries to throw money at a problem like he did with the Sabres for so long now. But
I think the Bills have gone from being tied with the Dolphins for the team where we every year we would say, you know, if this, that, and the other thing goes right for them, they could be in the playoff hunt. They have dropped out of that level to me. They are now down at the, boy, if we can go 7-9, that's a real good season, because they're headed in the wrong direction. And I just don't see them. I mean, I don't think they're going to be god-awful like the Jets. If I'm a Bills fan, I'm thinking right now, thank God for the New York Jets, because they're keeping us out of the cellar. But I don't think the Bills are going to be very good. I'm 5-11, probably.
Yeah, and this is kind of another reason why I like the Jay Cutler move for the Dolphins, is because you look at what's going on with the Jets and the Bills quarterback situation, and you go, well, suddenly, okay, obviously you're probably never going to have the best quarterback in the division when you're dealing with Tom Brady, but Jay Cutler kind of catapulted the Dolphins to a clear number two in that situation. Again, not as bad as, say, the Jets situation, which is kind of historically bad levels of awfulness, but Tyrod Taylor, like...
Yeah. What happened to the kid from Florida State that they drafted? I can't even think of his name anymore.
EJ Manuel.
EJ, yeah, what happened to him?
He got injured early in that season, and Tyrod Taylor took over, and they just never did anything more with EJ Manuel.
Okay.
Tyrod Taylor might not even start the opener. I guess he's still dealing with concussion protocol from the last preseason game. They have some guys in their D-line. You know, they still have – is Marlon Williams still there?
I don't know.
I don't believe so, but they've got some talent on the D-line, but that's about it.
I think they're a team that – they're going to go out, they're going to win a game they shouldn't win, or two maybe.
Yeah. You know,
they're going to pull an upset, but they're also going to lose some games they should have easily won. They're just not a good football team.
Yeah, and Mario Williams isn't there. On the D-line, they have guys like Marcel Darius and Shaq Lawson who are pretty good, but that's
yeah, great. But you know, they got LeSean McCoy who, you know, can make some plays. But they're just, I don't know, they're a 5-11 team, and they're in a division where, you know, you've got the Patriots, the Dolphins are going to be tough on them, and it's just going to be a rough go for them. They are definitely – they looked like they were ascending for a couple years there, and that's ended. The window closed. It never really truly opened, but now it's closed, and they've got to start looking at starting over again.
Yeah, it's – what was I going to say? There was – I just saw a thing. Oh, just to kind of explain the Buffalo Bills here. So – Who do you even know who their head coach is right this second?
Nope.
I know they've got a lot of their current coaching staff from Carolina, right? Like, yeah. They poached a couple names from there.
Yeah, I see. With most NFL teams, I could probably name their coach pretty easily. I don't. I saw the name. I'm like, I don't know this man. His name is Sean McDermott. Does it ring any bells?
No. <All right. laughs> He right. sounds okay. like who was that guy the Browns hired a few years ago that was like the seventh guy on their list? And his daughter said, "Well, you might have Mike Patton." He sounds like a Mike Patton pick. Like he was the guy they could get.
Oh yeah, and his daughter was like, "Hey, it's a job.
It's a job, right? Come on, Dad. It's a job. It's a gig. Come on." And that brings us to Zach.
That brings us to. You know, it's kind of sad that we have to get to him so early almost, but your AFC East champion, your AFC champion most likely, and God forbid, probably your repeat Super Bowl winner, the New England Patriots. I mean, what's there to say about this team that you haven't said? Really, I guess the question is, you know, I'm trying to look at their schedule. It's kind of easy. It's not hard necessarily, but is this another 16-0 team?
I don't know. I'd go that far. I think there's. I have to see their schedule, but they will lose.
Chiefs, Saints, Texans, Panthers, Bucks, Jets.
Yeah, there's some teams on there.
Chargers, Broncos, Raiders, Dolphins, Bills, Dolphins. That's a fucking sandwich. And then they're at the Steelers in week.
Yeah, there are some teams on there that can beat them that are perfectly capable of beating them. The main question with the New England Patriots is simply this. If Tom Brady gets hurt, is Jimmy Garoppolo good enough to step in and them not miss a beat? That's basically it. They've gotten better on both sides of the ball in the offseason, which you think, how in the world did that happen? But it did. And I don't know that we waste any more time on them just to say that barring a catastrophic season from an injury standpoint, I don't see any reason not to pencil them in for the AFC title game.
No, I legitimately think Jimmy Garoppolo could pilot this team to an AFC championship.
Yeah.
Like because the rest of the team is so good. The system is so good. Belichick is such a great coach. And I mean, for anybody that has heard this show ever, they know that I'm not exactly the biggest fan of the New England Patriots in any sense of the word.
Nor am I.
But this far into it, they're very much like we've talked about with Alabama for so long. This far into it, if you doubt them in any way, you're an idiot.
Yep.
Like, unless they show you that they actually go out there and lose the games, that they're not good enough, I have to put faith in their ability, in their coaching staff, in their process, that this will continue to work until it all of a sudden no longer works anymore. Yeah. Because it's not just the Tom Brady show, even though he's still been spectacular. You know, he's going to be 40 this season. Even then, he's still one of, if not the best quarterback in the league still, and still has the Patriots on the top of their game that they've been for 15, 18 years now.
If you want an idea of how good Jimmy Garoppolo probably is, all you need to know is that you had teams lined up out the door ready to trade really attractive draft pick packages for him, and Belichick wouldn't let him go. And if Bill Belichick won't trade you, then that means he thinks an awful lot of you, and you must be pretty darn good. And that's why I think that anything short of just like losing Gronkowski to injury, having Brady go down, losing a couple of receivers, I mean, unless they just have one of those seasons where guys are just getting hurt left and right, that's the only thing that can stop them, I guess is what I'm trying to say, will be their health. That's it. They're the best team in the AFC until proven otherwise. They're the Alabama of the NFL.
To the AFC Norris division. And again, the top of the preseason standings, your Baltimore Ravens. Who are, I don't know how this team is 4-0 the preseason. That's kind of strange because I don't think that they're going to be very good this year.
Oh, see, I disagree. I think that they are one of those teams that they're on the precipice. They could go either way, but I think that if a couple things go their way and the defense is starting to come together, I think they'll be, you're going to go back to seeing the vintage Ravens that we all love to watch so much. Ugly football, Joe Flacco hitting long bombs, and good defense. And I think they're capable of that.
I don't think Joe Flacco is good enough anymore. I think he's coming off an injury that he's going to have to work with. And they were barely in it last year. I just don't see them being even as good. I don't see them being as middling good as they were last year. I think that the Ravens are kind of done.
See, you dare suggest that Joe Flacco is not elite?
Right.
I suggest it. I say it. In fact, I would almost make it a fact. You know, because you have Joe Flacco, who's coming off an injury. He's questionable this week on the injury report. So your backup is Ryan Mallett, who threw five interceptions in practice and, like, didn't want to come back or whatever.
They probably had to beg their backup to come back.
No, they only have two quarterbacks on the roster. It's Joe Flacco or Ryan Mallett. Those are your choices.
Mallett is just such a trip because the guy had just, you know, talent for miles, but what a head case this dude is.
I'm just imagining Ryan Mallett being like, no, I want to go home. No, Ryan, please don't.
Yeah. He pulls that shit with me. I'm like, okay, go home. You know what? There's a McCown out there somewhere I can replace you with. We'll see with the Rams. I think they could be good. I don't think Super Bowl good or anything, but I think you could see them return to form where they're 9-7 in the playoff hunt, doing what they do, which is play good, solid defense and make stupid plays on offense that, you know, high risk, high reward plays.
The thing that I think helps the Ravens is that they're kind of in a shit division. The best team is probably the Steelers, and that's something where, you know,
I would say definitely.
Definitely the Steelers. Yeah, I agree with that.
I mean, it's the Steelers, and then you have a gap. Then you have the Ravens and Bengals. Then you have a double, triple gap. Then you have the Rams.
But even then, though, the Steelers are I have a feeling that window's closing soon. And So I think we're only a year or two away from the AFC North being like the NFC South was a few years back.
Yeah, I can see that happening soon. What I would say yes to that, except for one thing. Pittsburgh always seems to manage to evolve properly and rebuild properly, so they never really get bad. But the rest of that division, sure, absolutely.
They'll need a quarterback once Big Ben goes away, but they can still run the ball pretty well, and the defense is good, and they have talent at wide receiver. It's just a matter of getting somebody to run the whole damn thing.
Well, you got Le'Veon Bell at running back, okay? You've got Antonio Brown.
We'll get to them in a second. Yeah, let's hold off on them.
All right.
Do we have any more to say about the Ravens?
Not really.
I just think that they're so at best middle of the road that maybe they will be in that muddled hunt for the wild card. But I was down on them last year, and you were high on them last year, Greg. And I remember that, you know, you were right and I was wrong last year. But I still can't get that's not going to make me turn around on them because I think if I thought they were going to be bad last year. We're a year later. There's no way that I can think that they're any better.
I think they're a little bit better, but I think you're looking at about the same thing. I think they were, 9-7 last year. Looking at that probably again this year. Maybe 8. What were they last year? 8-8 last year. Yeah, I mean, 8-8, 9-7. But like you said, in the middle of an AFC playoff hunt, that's going to be pretty easy to get into. If you can just keep your head above water, you'll be in it.
Yeah, well, you're going to be one of six teams. It's going to be 8-8 at the end of the season, so figure it out.
Yeah. I mean, all they got to do really is win a couple games they shouldn't, and they're going to be right in the thick of it.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on to the my Cleveland Browns. Look at this.
Yeah, one of five or so teams that finished 4-0 the preseason. Your Cleveland Browns starting quarterback, DeShone Kizer. He's going to be the future. He's going to take him to the promised land. They got rid of they finally got rid of Brock Osweiler somehow.
I'm surprised they even gave him a shot, to be honest. I guess they just thought, you never know, maybe he'll put it together here, and I don't know. I mean, we talked about the best backup job, you know, who's got the easiest gig in the NFL. Has anyone ever made more money for less than Brock Osweiler?
Yeah, well, I was going to wait. I was going to hold on him till the Broncos, but we can talk about him now because it's all interlinked. He signed with the Texans for $16 million last year.
Yeah.
$16 million a year. He signed from Denver to Houston in March of last year. In the 18 months since, he's made the $16-17 million. He set a Texans record for interceptions in a season. He lost the first round playoff game at home. They won that game, though. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, they won that game because David Carr went out.
Right.
Or Derek Carr, whichever one of the
Carr. Derek Carr. Right.
And then he got traded to the Browns, who really just wanted for the draft pick. And then he got released and signed on with the Broncos now to be their backup quarterback again.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow, and the Browns are still going to pay like $15.67 million of his contract this year, and he's making $500,000 from the Broncos.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's what I'm saying. The guy, I think, made more money just based on what he's actually done. The ratio of what he's done, how much money he's made, it's got to be the best ever because he hasn't done shit and he's cashed in big time.
Right. He has two different ratios. He has that one with littlest amount done for the most money, but he also has a lot done in most talent valued to decrease in talent value in the span of a season. Like, there was a reason that the Texans offered him that much money, mm-hmm. because the Broncos were ready to pay him just as much or more. And there were other teams that were in on him on that.
Yep.
And he took all that money with the Texans. And people legitimately, last offseason, there was a Brock Osweiler sweepstakes.
Yep.
Teams wanted to have him on their roster. Fast forward a year later, and he's getting cut from the Browns. And again, as we said last week about Josh McCown and the Jets, if you have to sign a quarterback who was cut by the Browns, not traded, not, you know, mm-hmm. whatever, just flat out cut from the Cleveland Browns, you have a problem.
Yes.
So just if he couldn't make it in Cleveland, you know, what use is it to anybody else? It's just a strange, strange little scenario, a little drama that played out over a year for Brock Osweiler.
Yeah, because you're right. The year that he was coming out of Denver, there were a lot of teams that wanted him. You know, Manning was going to retire, and he was the heir apparent, and it was just like, okay, Denver wants him. Houston wanted him more. I mean, everybody thought this, you know, he could be something, and look at him now. A cut by the Browns, picked up to be, what, basically the third-string quarterback in Denver? And it all took place in a season and a half. Amazing. But anyway, on my Cleveland Browns.
On your Cleveland Browns, I thought that they had a very, very good draft this last season.
Yep.
I like who they got on defense with Myles Garrett at DN, Jabril Peppers, who will be, you know, linebacker or safety. DeShone Kizer came in and won the quarterback job. Not a hard thing to do with the other guys he was going against necessarily, but still came in as a rookie and impressed some people. But I think, as we talked about at draft time, the Browns might finally be doing it the right way.
I think so.
Where they're acquiring draft picks, they're making good picks with those draft picks they're acquiring, and they're trying to actually develop them.
They're taking their time.
Not throwing them in the fire because we need to do something now. We need to change the culture of this team. Well, somebody finally came in and said, culture doesn't change in a night. Culture doesn't change in one offseason or even one season. It takes time, and they're taking that time. And I think the Browns aren't going to be 1-15 this year. I think I can safely say that they're not going to be 1-15 this year.
No, not.
And if they ended up 5-11, is that a good season?
What's the
high expectation watermark of this?
Well,
season?
I think that the
5-11, the 6-10,
the you know, wow, what a dream come true seasons like an 8-8, 7-9. You know, that shows real improvement. But then again, you think from a pure football perspective, I don't know if you want them to progress that quickly because that speeds things up maybe to a speed you're not comfortable with in what you're trying to do.
Yeah.
I think if they can come in 5-6 games, they're going to be at least more competitive this year. As we talked about earlier, they are no longer the most inept, biggest joke in the league. That belongs to the New York Jets now. So they've managed to clear that hurdle.
Yes. Clearly and simply, the Jets are that much worse than everybody
else. And, you know, the old saying, the journey of 1,000 miles starts with the first step. Well, they've taken that first step. They are no longer the biggest joke in the league. And, I mean, that's, you know, I say that in jest, but that's kind of an important milestone for these guys. Yeah. They've got decent talent at some of the skill positions. Isaiah Crowell is a pretty good running back. The defense has got some players, but, you know, they're a young team and they're building. They've still got a lot of holes to fill, and that's where the problem is going to be. You know, DeShone Kizer might be a good quarterback, but you still got to have a line. You still got to have the players to make the plays. But they're headed in the right direction for the first time, I think, since they came back in 99. We look at it and you go, I can see what they're doing. It makes sense. They seem to be doing it the right way, and they're finally on the path. And it's still a couple years away before you can really start talking seriously about a playoff run or anything, but at least you look at it now and you don't go, oh, my God, it's entirely hopeless. And
I saw DeShone Kizer play in that Cleveland-Tampa preseason game, and he was very impressive. So.
Yeah, he's got skills. He's just, you know, matter of mm-hmm. a lot of young players, very skilled but raw, you know, and it's just a matter of building it a piece at a time, and that's what they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, as I look at their schedule, there are, I would, in my estimation, at least 8 winnable games, maybe even 10 winnable.
Wow,
games
really?
Not that they're going to win all 10. Not that they're going to win all 10. Not that they go 10-6. I think that that's far and above what you could expect. But just looking at it, I think that there are 8 or 9, I'm for sure, that are possible wins for them to have. And, you know, like we said, 6-10, if they win 6-10, I think that's great for them.
Yeah.
And you know, hopefully, like you said, they don't win too quickly. That's like, well, maybe we're accelerating faster than we think. And all of a sudden you make some dumb move and here you are.
Yeah. Let's just say for a second that they do miraculously go 10-6 somehow. Now you're in a position where you go, well, we're just a this or that away from making a Super Bowl run. And you're clearly not.
And then suddenly you make that bad draft pick.
You make that bad draft pick, and we're right back where we started. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the key word for this team right now, for the organization, is patience. You've made some really good steps in the right direction. Stay on the path. Stay patient, just like you did in the draft this year. It would have been real easy to go out and draft a Mitchell Trubisky or something like that, but you had bigger needs elsewhere. You knew that even with Trubisky, if he's the next Joe Montana, he's not doing a thing for you this season. He's still going to help you 2 or 3 years down the road, so there's no point in wasting the pick now. Get players that will make an impact on the team right away. That's what they did. And, you know, they get the Sean Kizer in the second round. I like the way they're headed. It's the first time I can truly say that with any kind of, what's the word I'm looking for here?
Confidence.
With any kind of confidence, yeah, at all. You know, sincerity, whatever. Yeah. But, yeah, I really do think that they're headed in the right direction. It's still a ways off, and I talked to a lot of Browns fans, and they are being very impatient. But I said, you know, this is what had to happen all along. You just got to go with it and be patient. And if they do that, they're going to be okay.
Yep. Yeah, that was going to be my question to you, is just how are Browns fans being patient about it. But, you know, if they can do that, then this team will be fine.
Yeah, most of the fans understand what's going on there. You still got the bunch that are like, you know, we could have gotten Mitch Trubisky and blah, blah. And it's like, no. Have you looked at the rest of that roster? You could get Joe Montana. Yeah. 1984 Joe Montana is not going to win 10 games with this team. So just do the right thing. But, yeah, they're going to be okay. They're heading in the right direction.
Yeah.
They aren't an embarrassment anymore. That's the third step of this journey of 1,000 miles.
The only thing that I would hope that they don't do is keep themselves in a perpetual rebuild where, like, you get any sort of talent right. And you keep getting them away for picks.
Well, they're teetering kind of close to that right now, you know?
Right. You don't want to be the Oakland A's and trading away every good thing you ever get.
Yeah.
Once you get something, stick with it and just, you know, try to develop it and write it out and see what happens.
I think what they've done basically is with the quarterback thing, since they got burnt on Manziel so badly, is they look at the draft and they think, is there a franchise guy that's going to help us right away? And they say no, and they make moves to get more picks. But when that guy comes along, and maybe it's Sam Darnold from USC next year, I don't know, maybe it's Josh Rosen. When the right guy comes along, they'll pull the trigger, and that's when they'll do it. But, you know, they're just not going to just jump at the first guy like they did with Manziel, and that's good. Yeah. All right.
Next team on the North list is the Pittsburgh Steelers. As we had already kind of mentioned, I think this is a team that's clearly the class of this division. And I guess my question is, how much more does Big Ben have to give, you know, in his career? I guess there were some questions about will he retire this season or not. And I when somebody brought it up, I was like, really? Is it time for Ben Roethlisberger to retire already? Wow.
He's taken a pretty good beating over the years. I mean, there is that.
Yeah, no, that's definitely true. It didn't seem like I guess it's the same thing with Tom Brady. It's like, well, did you know that he's 40 and he's been in the league forever? It's like, oh man, has he really? I guess he has, huh? And I think the same thing about Big Ben, but yeah, he's definitely taken a beating more than some other guys in the league have over the years.
Of all the teams in the AFC, I think these guys have the best chance at knocking off the Patriots, right. Just like I thought last year.
Yes.
You know, they've got Ben Roethlisberger, who's a good quarterback. They've got Le'Veon Bell in the backfield. If everybody stays healthy, Antonio Brown, they've got good receivers. Martavis Bryant, a very talented player, comes back this year after being suspended all last year. The defense has improved. This is the team that if you're putting your hopes on anybody to knock off the Patriots, these are probably the best guys to get behind. I'll go ahead, Mike.
I'm going to say I agree with you on that, but I'm going to say that even though they have the best shot, it's still a very distant shot. I am not as high on the Steelers as a lot of people are. I think this team's window has been closing for a while, and maybe it just hasn't been apparent to us until maybe around now. But they will easily win their division because it's kind of a crap show after them, but they will be there in the AFC title game against the Patriots, but I don't think it'll be close.
No, I agree with that. I think, you know, they have a shot. Will they beat the Patriots? Yeah. I wouldn't bet on it. But if you're looking at a team that's got that puncher's chance of knocking them off, I think the Steelers are probably the one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's either the Steelers or, you know, hopefully the Raiders can stay healthy and do what they did last year, and they would be the team that could be in that conversation also. But
maybe the Chiefs, maybe, but doubtful.
As long as Alex Smith is there and Andy Reid is there, I want to give them that.
That's a really bad combo.
Yeah, we'll talk about that when we get there too. But the Steelers are the class of this division. If they lose it, it's by some sort of catastrophe.
Well, I think same with the Patriots. Their biggest enemy is their health.
Yeah,
if they can stay healthy, they'll be okay because they are a good head above everybody else in that division as far as talent goes. And they just got to stay healthy and win their games and don't do things stupid, and they'll be all right.
Yep. So I think we can move on to the last team in this division, the Cincinnati Bengals. Oh, boy, the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah.
On the downward side of the hills, sliding into further and further into mediocrity by the year.
Anybody think it's crazy to think the Browns have a chance at finishing ahead of these guys this year? Not saying they will. I'm saying they've got a shot possible. At it.
You know,
it's possible, yeah.
It's hard to say because I always buy a lot of stock in Andy Dalton. I think he's pretty good.
He's solid, you know, yeah.
Yeah.
He's a good quarterback, but the rest of the team really hasn't been built around him. And the biggest problem, I think, is just the coaching.
Yeah.
Marvin Lewis got them as far as he was going to get them, and he got them to that point maybe 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And it should have been apparent 5 years ago. Management should have said, all right, we've reached the point where we're going to get with this guy. Let's get someone else in there to get us to the next level, and they never did.
How long has he been there now, Zach? Can you look it up
Marvin
real quick?
Lewis? He's been there far, far too long.
I want to say since 2002.
So we're looking at, what, 15 years?
Yeah.
Because John Madden always said that an NFL coach, win, lose, or draw after 10 years, should move on. If not...
2003.
So 14 years. But yeah. I think you're right. And, you know, that fits right in with your window there. He got them as far as they were going to go about 5 years ago, which would have been roughly about his 10th season. After that, I don't know. I just think that he's managed to dodge getting fired a bunch of times.
I still don't know how he wasn't fired after that
disaster. Yeah, a couple years ago. I know. I agree.
Yeah, like that. If there was a time to fire him, it was then because that was a discipline thing and that's a coaching thing.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no reason he should still be around.
Well, I think the biggest problem the main problem is again, he got them to where he was going to get them, and management made no effort to bring someone else in to build off of what he was able to put together. Building off of that is a related problem in that there's no accountability at any level. The players are undisciplined because their coach doesn't hold them accountable, and the coach has no incentive to try to get to the next level because he knows whatever happens, he's probably not going to be fired.
Yeah.
So it's this constant state where, you know, they got to a point where they were making some noise, but no discipline on the player's end, no accountability on the coaching end, kind of created this vicious cycle, and they've slowly but surely been showing lesser returns season by season. And I don't think it's likely that the Browns win more games than them, but I'm just going to say that if they do, it wouldn't be entirely surprising.
AFC South, the leader in the preseason, is your Indianapolis Colts. 2-2. Andrew Luck starting off the season dealing with concussion issues again. This is a team that just has its fair share of injury problems, always has. You know, they went through a fair amount of offseason turmoil in recent seasons. But this is the team that still, to me, just feels rudderless ever since Peyton Manning left. And you had Andrew Luck come in, and you had Chuck Pagano in those first couple of years with the Chuck Strong, and they made the playoffs, and then they had that great comeback against the Chiefs. It seemed like at the beginning of all this that there was something really going for the Colts, and they weren't going to have that long of a down period after the Peyton Manning era ended. You had the 1-2-14 season, the Curtis Painters of the world leading them.
I remember at one point early in the Andrew Luck era, they even had a – didn't they beat the Broncos in the playoffs in like a surprise upset?
Yeah.
They had a couple of years there where they looked like they were really setting up to be a Super Bowl contender.
Yeah.
And it just didn't happen.
And then some years of mismanagement by GM Ryan Grigson finally gets him fired later than he should have been. And Andrew Luck has tried to drag this team by himself for so many years, and not with the relative ease that Peyton Manning did it for so many years, where, yes, the Colts had some talent to help him, but it was a lot of Peyton doing it by himself. And Andrew Luck has tried to do the same thing, but like I said, it's really been kind of a drag, like pulling a sled through the mud sort of thing.
Well, he doesn't have a Reggie Wayne. He doesn't have some of the running backs they had in Indy for a while there with Peyton. And I'll tell you what these guys remind me of. They're like the Packers Jr., except not as smart. Like, they're putting way too much on the quarterback and really just kind of going, okay, we'll let Andrew Luck just do what he does, and that should be enough. Well, it just doesn't work like that. Ask the Packers. I mean, ask the
Dolphins how, you know, just being like, oh, we have Dan Marino. Uh-huh. We don't have to do anything else.
Right. Yeah, and they're not even doing it as well as those teams do it. I think Zach's right. Rudderless is the best way to put it. I don't know what they're trying to do or where they're headed, honestly. Yeah.
And so Scott Tolzien will at least open the season as the quarterback for the Colts.
Oh, that's a name that inspires confidence.
That is a sentence you never want to hear if you're a Colts fan.
Scott Tolzien starting quarterback.
Right.
And so the Colts opening their season at the Rams, which if this were like a year ago, would have been much more of a season, or not a season, but like a pulling from both ends. Like, oh, I'm really split down the middle here. I'm looking at it as now, well, maybe the Rams can start the season off with a win. That'd be nice. Wouldn't that be fun? their schedule's not the most difficult I've ever seen, but I don't know what to think of this team without Andrew Luck. When they have Andrew Luck, I put them in a playoff picture. I put them as competing for a division title, most likely. Without him, it's hard to say what they are, because without him, I just don't think that they're all that good. They finished 8-8 last year, and that was with Luck being injured a lot. Just one game behind the 9-7 Houston and Tennessee's. But I don't know if I can even see the Colts getting to a winning season this year. They're just a team that I don't have a lot of confidence in.
The saving grace is, again, their division.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
8-8 I think you're looking at an 8-8. If a couple breaks go their way, because the AFC playoff picture, once you get past the top three, is pretty wide open. You know, anything can happen, but they're not headed in the right direction. That much I do know. I don't know what they're doing. They don't seem to be headed in any direction. I don't know what it exactly is they're trying to do here. You know, what do they need help with? I think they need a little bit of help with everything. And I don't know. I think 8-8 is probably what they're looking at this season. Like Mike said, their division helps a lot, but that division's not as easy as it used to be.
Yeah. Their trouble for a long time was the offensive line not being able to run the ball. I don't know if they've made any changes to that.
Right.
They haven't really upgraded the wide receiving core, so Andrew Luck still just has T.Y. Hilton to throw to, and that's when Luck is healthy again. And the defense has always been an issue, you know, going back to the Peyton Manning days. Well, that's another reason why he had to do it all himself. And so, like I said, I think without Andrew Luck, this team is actually quite bad.
Mm-hmm.
With him, he does enough to make them a serviceable team, but without him, I don't see the ceiling for this team. It's pretty low.
Yep.
But like you said, it's a division that helps out a lot. One of those teams that is still going to be at the bottom is the Jacksonville Jaguars. They were 2-2 in the preseason, but man, this is another team that had some promise, looked like they were taking the right steps, but just haven't gotten any higher than that first step. Blake Bortles is still a garbage can at quarterback. And the rest of the team isn't all that good.
I disagree. I think the Jaguars, their biggest problem is their quarterback. I think you get a guy in there that can play that position, and they're a much better team. They've got I'm not going to put them in like, you know, serious playoff contention or anything, but he's their biggest drawback. I think if you had a guy that could play that quarterback position a little bit better, they become a whole lot tougher. But yeah, they just don't have anything to work with. I mean, you know,
interesting guy for them, I think, is their first round pick, Leonard Fournette.
Right.
How much can he make a difference in trying to shoulder the responsibility on that offense?
We've been talking about the Jaguars are headed, back all the way back to Gus Bradley. You know, they're making the turn and they're doing, and it's just not happening. And whether they want to admit it or not, they need a quarterback. Blake Bortles is not good. Maybe he's a good backup, but he's not the guy you want to pin your hopes on. And that's what they're trying to do. So they're looking at another, 5-11 season probably.
Yeah. No, 100%.
Yep.
I guess we don't really have too much else to say about
it. I mean, what else can you say?
Yeah, true.
Fix those damn helmets, and you've got a pretty decent uniform set if you go do a few things differently. But other than that, yeah.
Yeah, another team that's going to be probably not good because God knows what they're – I guess they'll be okay. Houston's an interesting team, the Texans. So you got your J.J. Watts and all that stuff up front. If they can stay healthy on defense, that's
– They got ferocious defense, but how are they going to score points?
Yeah, J.J. Watts is Devin Clowney. That's ferocious. DeAndre Hopkins is a pretty good receiver.
Yeah.
Deshaun Watson comes in at quarterback, and it looks like he's going to be the starter.
Is he going to be? They're not going to go with Tom Savage?
Well, I don't know. I guess I don't know.
I had heard that they're going to go with Savage to start the season and then Watson. Oh. I think that's idiotic.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to go with Watson down the road, what are you waiting for? Just do it now.
Yeah, I guess I hadn't thought about it because what I had seen from the little I had seen in the preseason, it looked like Deshaun Watson was the better quarterback.
Yeah. I mean, I could be wrong. I don't know what they're going to do either, but yeah, he's your best option for sure.
Basically, if you go by the depth chart that's out there, it's Tom Savage up front, which, like you said, doesn't make any sense to me. I don't know. But like a lot of teams, as we said, that defense is great. If it can stay healthy, I don't know how the hell you defend J.J. Watt on one side and Jadeveon Clowney on the other.
Well, and they've got here's the thing. I don't know if you could take the Texans defense and pair it with I'll even say the Colts offense. You've got a hell of a football team there. With an Andrew Luck led Colts offense and a Texas defense, that's a seriously good team. The problem is that. The Texans, I just don't know how they're going to score points. I mean, Deshaun Watson will help, I think, but he's still going to be a rookie. He's still going to make rookie mistakes, but you've got players to work with. So I don't know. The Texans are going to be interesting. They could go a whole lot of different directions.
Yeah.
Who is their running back?
Who is their running back right now? That's a good question. Right now, it says it's Lamar Miller.
Well, he's not bad.
He's okay.
But their defense is incredible. This is the defense you want.
Yeah, as you said, this will be the thing that keeps them in contention, and they're going to have to fight off a hard charge from what I think is probably the best team in this division. And I know that you'll be right with me on it, Greg.
Yes, sir.
Tennessee Titans.
My irrational confidence, Tennessee Titans, for the 8th year in a row.
I think the irrational confidence is well placed, though. I like the direction this team has gone. They seem to have just kind of built themselves up. Marcus Mariota has improved in his short time in the league. And I kind of, based on what the rest of this division offers you, I think the Tennessee Titans should be the favorite in this division going into week one here.
Well, they went a surprising 9-7 last year, which I don't think anybody expected them to play quite that well. But they're headed in the right direction. And Mariota, I think that the Titans are taking the right path with him. They stayed patient with him. Wasn't it his first game? He was incredible.
It was his first game. I remember this because he played Jameis Winston in their first game, and it was like the number one and number two draft pick. It was a big deal. And Mariota ended up winning, and there's a lot of hype, and then it kind of just returned to the mean.
And then he was terrible for a while, and then he got it back together, but they didn't panic with him. They've made some good draft picks, and they're definitely a team on the rise. And with that division, I think they're the favorites, too. They've got, DeMarco Murray, the running back. They've got Derrick Henry, the Alabama guy behind him. They've got some good receivers, good defense. They're going to be tough, man. I mean, who knows? They're one of those teams that if they get a couple breaks and things go the right way, they can pull the Raiders on us. All of a sudden, we're looking at the Titans being like 12-4. I could really see that happening. 10-6 is probably more realistic, but if they get a few breaks, win a couple games that they shouldn't, probably, you know, all of a sudden they're right in the thick of it. That's how much I like them this year.
Offensively, they got a lot going for them. The biggest matchup in this whole division will be their offense versus the Houston defense.
Yep.
The few times that they play each other. And, you know, we're not the only ones jumping on the Tennessee bandwagon. There's a lot of hype around that team, about around this team being the one to take the step forward.
I'll just say this, that, you know, to all these people that are jumping on the bandwagon this year, go away, because I've been here all along. Yeah, I like the Titans to win the division. I think they're going to be pretty good this year. My irrational confidence will finally pay off with a division title.
The AFC West, the last division here, the AFC American Football Conference. This is a division that's turned upside down, you know, over a course of like two seasons. It's going to be a strange one. I would almost think, if I were to make a prediction, I would probably say take the preseason standings that you see right now and flip them upside down, and that will be your regular season standings. The 4-0 in the preseason somehow is the Denver Broncos, who just so much uncertainty at quarterback. The defense is actually taking a step back too with guys that they've lost. Talent wise, they were 9-7 last year with Trevor Siemian at quarterback for most of it, and Paxton Lynch came in late. Paxton Lynch is injured. Trevor Siemian is going to start as the opening day starter for the Broncos, and they bring in Brock Osweiler to be their backup. That offense is kind of a hot mess, and I don't know where they're going to score points. The defense might still be good enough with guys like Von Miller back there, but offensively this team just isn't even what it was in that Super Bowl year. And that Super Bowl year wasn't blowing any doors off, even with Peyton Manning in his final year. So the Broncos have a lot of issues that need to be addressed here.
They fell off the top of the heap pretty quickly, I think.
And well, they can go on and on about, you know, how they dodged a bullet with that Brock Osweiler sweepstakes. They ended up not having to pay him as much as they probably would have ended up paying them if Houston didn't act incredibly stupid. But the fact of the matter is that the year after winning the Super Bowl, they lost their starting quarterback, and they lost the guy they were grooming to be like the heir apparent. And you, as a team, you can't have that happen and expect things to go swimmingly. You just can't.
Right.
So, I mean, their quarterback situation was kind of a mess. It only really worked as well as it did because of the defense, and even then it didn't work particularly well. So, like, honestly, I think this team's going to end up at the bottom.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I was just going to bring this up, too. If you remember last year, they got a lot of that 9-7 was due to a hot start they had at the beginning of the season.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say they went like 5-1 out of the gate, and then things got pretty rough from that point forward. But yeah, Paxton Lynch. I mean, I don't know. I think he's a guy that's got potential, but he hasn't played enough to really give you a really true idea. You know, Trevor Siemian had his moments last year, but in this division, as tough as it is, you've got the Raiders who are going to be tough. You've got the Chiefs who are going to be tough. The Chargers are going to be much improved this year. You don't have time to be messing around trying to figure out your quarterback situation if you're the Broncos. And then the defense has gotten worse. Yeah, I'm with you, Mike. They finish at the bottom. I'm thinking 5-11, you know, maybe even 4-12 bad. I don't think they're going to be – just not going to be a very good team this year.
No, I agree. They're going to be down there at the bottom. Next team on the list, the Kansas City Chiefs, 2-2 in the preseason. This team is – the same as it ever was.
You know,
it's Andy Reid. It's Alex Smith. They're going to be fine. They'll win some games here and there. And
maybe a playoff run.
Maybe they make it to the playoffs, and maybe they lose in the first round. Maybe they lose in the second round, but they will lose at some point.
Andy Reid's clock management does eventually catch up to him.
Well, you know what?
I think the interesting thing for the Chiefs, though, is how long do they stick with Alex Smith? because they drafted Patrick Mahomes. They traded up to get him from Texas
right,
Tech.
Right.
And apparently he had a great preseason, and they're very high on this kid.
That...
So if they think that Alex Smith is still just doing fine, how long until the same thing that happened to Alex Smith in San Francisco happens to him in Kansas City?
I'll continue to say, though, that he was probably the better option in San Francisco, and I think both him and Kaepernick's careers have borne that out. But, eh.
I was going to say, even with Andy Reid and his clock management issues and stuff, you know, this team, you take that out of it, I don't see them being able to beat, like, the Patriots or the Steelers because they – even with their offense, when it's firing on all cylinders, it's just a tough team to look at and go, yeah, I like them being able to do what it takes to make the Super Bowl because, again, Alex Smith is a fine – I think I read in an article I read today at Sports Illustrated, they called him a point guard quarterback. I thought that's a really good description of this guy. He's not a guy like a top-tier, top-flight quarterback, but he's a point guard. He knows how to run the offense and get things done, but he's not a scorer, I guess would be the best way to put it. And as long as he's behind center, I just don't see them ever getting past where they are right now. And that's not a knock on him. He is probably taking his talents as far as he possibly can. It's just not ever going to be far enough, if that makes any sense.
It was – I think the problem with Alec, with the Chiefs is that Alex Smith and Andy Reid complement each other in the worst way. That Alex Smith is a traditionally very conservative play caller and Andy Reid is a traditionally very conservative coach.
Yeah.
Who sometimes forgets how much time is left in the game. And it's one of those cases where they're never going to take a step to the next level because the combination of both the starting quarterback and the coach, it's like, I think their combined idea is, oh, we're perfectly fine as is. And it leads to conservative play calling. It leads to conservative clock management, and that'll win you games that in the regular season. That'll even get you into the playoffs, but it's not going to take you very far.
That's a perfect assessment, if you ask me. And it's what do they do to take the next step? I don't with the current personnel they have and the coaching. I think this is it, right? This is as good as they get.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I will say they've been as good as they can get
for a while. It's just they can't take that next step, and this group won't. They've had their shots. It's not going to be there.
I like the pick of Mahomes. I think that could be an interesting move, and if he turns out to be a good quarterback, that could make the difference. They also drafted Kareem Hunt out of Toledo, who I think is going to be a good guy to step in, and the Spencer Ware, Jamal Charles string of good running backs they've had. I think he's the next logical step in that, but I go back to the same thing. I think that they have maxed out their potential. This is as good as they're going to be.
And the funny thing is that we keep saying as good as they're going to be. They were 12-4 last year. It's not like they're bad.
But they don't have
extra gear. That's not teams.
It was, and I think it was kind of, I don't want to say a soft 12-4, but it's just we talked about it last year that 12-4, whatever, we knew that there was only so far that team could go. As much as I wanted them to go all the way to the Super Bowl, because I love the Chiefs. I have since I was a kid. But they just don't have that extra gear. They're a 4-speed and a 5-speed world, and it's just not going to work out for them.
Yeah. Like I just said, they don't have that extra gear.
Yeah.
They're good. They just can't ratchet it up to that next level
that the
great teams do. And they, And we'll see what they're all about week one. They open at the Patriots on opening night there.
Oh, wow.
So we'll see how that goes for them.
Tough assignment.
Yeah. They have a pretty tough schedule, scrolling down it right now.
I mean, they went 12-4. So, I don't know what their schedule was the year before, but I got to think it was probably a little bit easier. But, yeah, now you're playing a 12-4 schedule to go with everything else.
Yeah. Well, in first place. It's not so much 12-4. It's first
place.
First place rather than second place they had been fast. So. It's definitely tougher on them now. Here's the thing, because they somehow end up going 12-4 every year. I don't know if they will get that way or not, or if the Chargers, I'm not going to say their location anymore, or here we go, the Carson Chargers,
I don't know. Los Angeles Super Chargers.
I don't know how Carson's going to be able to get into second place, but I think that they have the opportunity to. I mean, we've talked for many months about the failed experiment that they are in the market, in the stands, and all that sort of stuff. Now comes them being actually on the field, and I think they're going to be pretty okay. And we talked about last year that they were just on the wrong side of so many close games.
Right.
And they could have been playoff contention. They might be there now, but in front of a bunch of people that don't care. But
so many blown leads, Lo. And that's the thing that concerns me. It's like, if a few games just went their way last season, they make the playoffs. The problem that I have with this team going forward is that a lot of those losses weren't the result of like a bad call or a bad, you know, pass or a bad tip here. And they're just like random stuff that it's like, oh, if that had just gone our way, we would have won. No, a lot of this was the team had a lead and the team blew a lead. And that's a mental thing. And it all really comes down to, did the coaching staff address the mental toughness issue? And considering that they had to deal with kind of a hasty relocation, not entirely sure if that was something that was worked on, but the thing is, and not that like the marketplace ultimately has anything to do with the play on the field, but I'm not sure how you get hyped going up in front of a soccer stadium that's not even filled to capacity. Yeah. If it is, it's filled with opposing fans. It's going to be a really weird atmosphere, and I don't know if that necessarily translates to a strong on-field performance.
This team, to me, has a potential, based on what happened to them last year with the bad breaks and all that. I think they had a lot of injuries last year, too. They have the talent to be pretty good, but boy, have they got a lot going against them right now. The half-empty soccer stadium. I don't care who you are. Players have egos. Players want to hear cheers. They want to – yes, they're professionals and et cetera, but at the end of the day, you're still out there playing. You still want to hear the crowd going crazy, and they're not going to get a lot of that. So how much of that is going to play a role? This team could be good, but they've just got so much going against them that I don't know if they can overcome it. If they do, I could see them being a 10-6 team and making some noise, and maybe that's the difference. If they come out of the gate strong and they play well right out of the start, maybe they turn that little bandbox into a place nobody wants to play because it's crazy loud and all that. But I doubt it. And that's the way I see the Chargers. They've just got a lot to overcome. If they can do it, then they're going to be halfway decent. I just don't know that they'll do it.
They've got talent. They definitely have that. They have talent on the D-line. They have talent all over the offense. I think.
I don't care what anyone says. Phillip Rivers is...
Yeah.
One of the best quarterbacks in the league, and I will not hear a word against that.
Let's say that your choices are anybody but Aaron Rodgers, Andrew Luck,
and Tom Brady.
Who are you taking? Maybe Phillip Rivers isn't. Yeah, he's maybe not my first choice, but he's definitely in the running for it.
Well, if you look over their last two seasons in San Diego, it was Phillip Rivers had some career best numbers, and the team's record just didn't reflect it. And every week, and I know because I watched this team as much as I could, it seemed like every week the story was Phillip Rivers tries to single-handedly win the game, and sometimes he almost pulls it off, but the talent just isn't there. And maybe they get over that hump, but again, the question is... I don't know. I don't know because we're kind of getting to the twilight of Phillip Rivers' career.
Right.
And I guess my point is that he had, as far as his personal stats go, he had two career seasons the past 2 years that the team that just didn't turn into on-field success. So you, as a fan, I have to wonder, did they waste the best of Phillip Rivers? And I'd love to be wrong on that, but it is a concern when you're dealing with a quarterback of this age, because as we saw with Tom Brady soon, but as we saw with Peyton Manning, as we saw with Brett Favre, it's often not a slow, graceful decline. It goes from, you are perfectly capable of dominating every game 1 week to, oh my God, you're old the next week.
I don't want to go back to the Patriots and get into this whole discussion, but I will just say that I want to get this on the record, that it wouldn't surprise me in the least if by week three, Tom Brady, all of a sudden the clock strikes midnight and he turns into something else entirely. It wouldn't surprise me at all. But you're right about that, Mike. I'll put it this way, just to wrap up the Chargers. If they were in San Diego still, I'd like them a whole lot better than I do playing in Costa Mesa.
Carson.
Or whatever. Carson.
Practicing in Costa Mesa.
Okay. They are going to fight for Costa Mesa, though.
Right.
So they say.
Right.
The other big thing that hurts the Chargers is their top two picks in the draft both got injured. Forrest Lamp, who's going to be a pretty good guard for them. Mike Williams, who's supposed to be an impact receiver.
Is that a new rule in the NFL now that every year a Mike Williams has to be drafted a receiver in the first round by someone? I mean, how many Mike Williamses are there in the
really
NFL?
It's like, how many there are.
Like 13 or this something, right?
At least the third. This is at least the fourth that I know of.
Well, yeah, because the Lions took three of them in a row, if I remember right.
Yeah. The last team in the AFC West is the Oakland Raiders of Las Vegas.
Of Los Angeles.
Of Los Angeles, yes. 0-4 the preseason, but that doesn't really matter. We saw how good this team can be when it plays up to its potential last season. The thing that hurt them, of course, last season was just the untimely injury of Derek Carr. So who knows? I think this team's going to be just as good as it was last season. There were some people that were down on their defense as the season went along. That was a defense that should have been better, and it should have been. But I think this team still has all the talent that it needs. It's just a matter of, executing on the field. And there were a couple games that they lost that were close. There were a couple games that they won that were close. So
I
think this is just all about executing. And if they can do that, if they can execute to the best of their abilities, this is a team that can challenge for the conference. One of the three teams that is a legitimate title contender in the AFC.
I agree with that. I think they come down to earth just a little bit. I don't know that we're looking at another 12-4 season, but they're certainly going to be in the thick of it. Like the Steelers, like the Patriots, probably their biggest enemy is going to be health. If they can stay healthy, they should be fine. Now, we've also seen teams that have jumped out of nowhere to have a 12-4 season to fall right back down the other side of the hill. But I don't think it's going to happen with these because I think they win the division, followed by the Chiefs, Chargers, and the Broncos bringing up the rear.
To wrap up the AFC, who do you think, who do we have as our conference champion for each of us?
God, I don't want to pick them, but,
You know what?
I'm going to go off the board here. I think that this is the year that the luck finally runs out for the Patriots as far as injuries and health go.
Yeah.
And I see the Pittsburgh Steelers stepping in and winning the AFC this year.
It's going to be the Patriots, I think.
I applaud you for trying to do something different and going against your guns. I've done that in years past, Greg, but it hasn't served me well. It's the Patriots or nobody. Like Alabama, until they lose, you have to pick them. And even if they do lose, you still kind of have to pick them.
And that concludes part one of the 2017 NFL preview here on Basically a Sports Show. Follow us on Twitter at Basically Sports. Subscribe to the show via iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, and YouTube. And you can find us on Facebook.